Hello and welcome to this GCP short, produced in partnership with HDI Global and recorded in November at the European Captive Forum. As we have reported throughout 2023, HDI has been expanding its captive fronting and alternative risk offerings. And in this episode, I am joined by four members of that team from across Europe and the United States, as well as Nate Resnicek, President and Principal Consultant of Captives.insure in the US, which works closely with HDI. From HDI, we have Etienne de Varax, head of HDI's Center of Excellence for Risk Finance Solutions, and captive portfolio manager Yalto Borgman, based in France and Germany, respectively, as well as US-based duo Marco Hansel, senior vice president and underwriting lead, and Jason Ting, vice president and captive lead. Over the following 15 minutes, we discuss HDI's developing offering for captives and alternative risk solutions and where they might expand in the future in the US market in particular. Etienne, welcome onto the Global Captive Podcast for the first time. We have seen this year HDI expanding globally in the area of captives and alternative risk transfer solutions. Can you tell us a bit about the Center of Excellence for Risk Finance Solutions that you now head up and why that was established?
Yeah, I think that's for a long time, precisely we've been working with captives in many markets, especially in Europe, but also more and more now in the US. And the goal was to, in fact, take advantage of what we have done already, precisely working with captive, and to expand more to have a wider range of what we can offer to captives and also together to major clients interested in risk finance solutions.
Fantastic. So what role does the Center of Excellence have with regards to the captive services HDI offers?
I think the first thing we can say that basically, yes, we do work with captives. So the goal would be also to offer protection for captives. So that's one part of what we can do, stop losses. And this is where we can cooperate with another RE, which is a sister company in our group. The second thing we can do, obviously, is certainly work also with captives regarding affinity business, because we think it's a good fit for captives. We can also work precisely more broadly around parametric solutions, and parametric solutions also can come with captives. And the last part we have is precisely close to the captive universe, although it's somehow different, is virtual captives or finite type of programs.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned affinity business, obviously a real growing area for captives on both sides of the pond, and parametrics as well. I think we're starting to definitely see more uptake of captives themselves being involved in a parametric solution kind of one way or another. Yalto, we've discussed before kind of how busy a period the last 3 to 4 years has been for the captive insurance market and for captives. What have been some of the big themes and topics that are still coming up today with your captive clients?
First of all, Richard, thanks for having me again on your podcast. The current topics which we have on the list is that I think smaller companies now in Europe are moving into the direction of captives. We are seeing some growth in PCC structures, which of course creates for us the question about collaterals, which we need to have in place. And also we face the issue that there might be not the same level of sophistication when it comes to risk management and understanding of these kind of structures. So that's definitely a challenge sometimes to explain things like cost of capital and the default risk which goes in hand with the transaction. Secondly, I would say we have some spin-offs in the European market. So companies which split up because they want to attract new investors on the stock market. And therefore, they have then new capital formations ongoing. And on the other side, of course, we have the companies who are consolidating their captive landscape, especially from Switzerland. We see some companies bringing back their captive operations from Bermuda to Switzerland. And there we help to put it in runoff or maybe do some novation business.
So you mentioned there about kind of some re-domestications or re-domiciling of captives. Obviously, the domicile landscape in Europe is changing, isn't it? Quite a lot, you know, in terms of the fact we've got France now and we've got talk of, you know, other countries, Italy, Spain, possibly going down that route. Does that change anything for you as a fronting insurer? Like, does the fact that Luxembourg is a very established domicile mean anything to you in your relationship with a captive compared to if they were a French captive or an Italian captive? Does it change anything?
We're always looking at the financial stability of the captive, right? So with Luxembourg, we have a well-established jurisdiction where you have the equalization reserves, which is seen for us the same way as capital. And the same, of course, would apply to France because they also want to have something similar. However, the way how to establish the equalization reserves will be slightly different. So all in all, for me, if the captive is located in Europe, it doesn't make much of a difference. However, I always analyze the financial statements on an individual basis. And when it comes to the landscape, I would say Luxembourg will stay top on the list. Ireland and Malta and France will attract specific clients who have specific needs.
Fantastic. So Jason and Marco, welcome back onto the pod as well. You also talked about a few areas there in terms of the trends he's seen more on the European side. Do those topics resonate for you in the United States? And what are some of the common problems or challenges that prospective clients are bringing to you?
So Richard, thanks for having us on the podcast again. We see some of the similarities to what Yelto's seeing in the US market. I think one of the major things that we've seen is captives are starting up and looking to cover their property risk due to the conditions in the marketplace, where we may have started to see the traditional work comp, GL, and auto coverages. Now there's a movement towards something starting with a property coverage instead. And then the other thing is that because of the way the market's changing, we've seen some smaller risks, some larger mid-market size companies that maybe would not have been a candidate for a captive, but because of the changes in the marketplace, they're all of a sudden very, very interested in forming a captive and taking more control of their risk.
Nate, great to see you on this side of the pond. I think for the first time I've seen you on this side of the pond. I imagine you probably have stepped foot in Europe before. And to have you on the podcast for the first time, what kinds of programs and solutions have you been working with HDI on in the US?
Yeah, not too dissimilar from the rest of our book of business. We focus largely on the more distressed markets that may be very good performers, but where we have some challenges from capacity providers understanding the risk or allowing the insureds and shareholders of the captive to take risk in a manner that they'd like to see. HDI has been a great partner so far in taking a common sense approach to understanding those risks, looking at how we deploy capacity, letting them have appropriate premiums, coverages, and focusing that really on the small to mid-market, where we may have those insureds be underserved from either a brokerage or a capacity market perspective.
So Yelto, turning it back to HDI specifically, as we were just talking about off air, you know, you guys are adding new people all the time, you're adding new divisions. We just reported about the Portugal branch, for example. Etienne's told us about the Center of Excellence. I know you guys are growing in the ART space as well. How is all of that expanding HDI captive proposition supporting some of the solutions that clients are asking for and some of the problems that clients are trying to solve?
Our expansion is really driven by the feedback we received from our clients and from the market. So we received in the US the feedback that they need another fronter with IP capabilities. We are there. And secondly, that the market asks for increased risk or has an increased need for risk finance solutions. And that's the reason why we formed our HDI enablers. And also the feedback was that a local expert always helped to get foots on the ground, and that it's better to speak with somebody locally than have just somebody in the home office in Hanover.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm a captive person, so any growth of anyone in the captive market, I really like to see, and it's great to see HDI really kind of diving deeper into that area. Nate, obviously it is an increasingly crowded field, the fronting market, I think particularly in the United States. I don't want you to do a full advert for HDI here, but what is it that you and kind of clients generally look for in fronting partners?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Of course, there's the things like the strength of paper and the filing status of the forms that we're going to be utilizing. What's really important oftentimes is, continuing on what Yelto was mentioning earlier, the speed to market and the ability to be flexible and what the market's saying that we need. Insurance is a very large ship to steer sometimes, and a lot of capacity providers just will never veer off course ever, regardless of what the market says, until they're forced to. We also see a need for for the understanding that the insured is going to be in a position, or the captive is, to take a very large, if not all of the risk back from the transaction. And in that instance, there needs to be some common sense underwriting that takes place from the carrier side, which doesn't necessarily always correlate in a very crowded U.S. market. So the most successful fronting providers have kind of blended those things together, where they have, again, taken a common sense approach to underwriting, as well as flexibility and innovation in what is being offered to respond to the needs of the insureds.
You mentioned there, Nate, that obviously it's important that the carrier is willing, the fronting partner is willing and understands that it might not be taking any of the risk. It might be kind of 100% fronting, pure fronting to the captive. Do you see that? Why are we seeing more demand for that approach from clients, from captives? What's driving that?
At least in the States, I think that it drives a lot to the characteristics of the insurance buyer, in this instance, the captive shareholder, where they have had, for a number of years, been at the whims of the market, doing what we've told them to, or sometimes asked them to, but maybe not so politely, to make changes to their organization, the way they manage risk. Otherwise, there'll be some potential negative complications from rate. In the U.S. market, we often have insureds that are saying, I could self-insure this if I was allowed, but filings or lenders or other interested parties will not allow them to do so. Again, that's going back to the statements I was making for pressures from the market and what the shareholders, the captives, are after. I think that's led to a direct kind of increase in the fronting space, where this allows insureds to do exactly just that. Put your money where your mouth is, bet on yourself, and if you do so inside of a structured arrangement inside of the captive, you get the opportunity to retain all of that underwriting profit that before was going to go to a capacity provider somewhere.
Fantastic. So, Marco, just lastly then, when we spoke earlier this year, you mentioned that you were kind of looking into providing fronting services on a broader range of lines. Jason mentioned kind of some of the lines you're involved with already. How is that kind of coming along, and what coverages are you seeing most in demand for captives looking for fronting partners?
Richard, thanks for having us. Great to see you again in Luxembourg. While the traditional property casualty products are still our focus as HDI, we have not only expanded with our footprint from local to global, but also with our product offerings. So now we offer also cyber, D&O, construction products, and within the next few weeks, also workers' comp, which is a great step to expand our offerings. Commercial auto is also in the works, and we aim to go live with auto in 2024. Other niche products I would call are dealer open lot and also the medical stop loss, which we are currently reviewing and hope to get something off the ground within the next year.
Well, medical stop loss would be interested to hear you guys expand it into, because it obviously is, such as we know in the US, it's a huge growth area. So just like to thank all of you for coming on to the Global Captive Podcast, and we'll see you again soon, I'm sure.